Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origin Podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Today we're diving into some really fascinating research about SARS-CoV-2, the virus behind COVID-19.
Yeah, and this isn't your typical COVID study. We're talking about iron sulfur clusters in viral proteins. I know that sounds super technical, but trust me, this is actually pretty cool.
Right. So the paper we're looking at today is from Nature Communications, and it focuses on these specific viral proteins called NSP14 and NSP10. These are part of the virus's replication machinery.
Okay, so let me set the stage here. Coronaviruses like SARS-CoV-2 have this really complex system for copying their genetic material and making sure it's accurate. It's called the replication transcription complex.
Exactly. And within this complex, NSP14 does two major things. First, it has this proofreading function, like a spell checker for the viral RNA. It removes mistakes during replication.
That's the exoribonuclease activity, right? The XON domain?
Yes. And second, NSP14 also helps with RNA capping, which is basically putting a protective cap on the viral RNA so the host cell doesn't recognize it as foreign.
And that's where NSP10 comes in too, right? It works with NSP14 for the proofreading and also with another protein, NSP16, for the capping process.
Exactly. So NSP10 is like this versatile helper protein. It boosts NSP14's proofreading activity by up to 35-fold, which is huge. And then it teams up with NSP16 to finish the capping.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting. Scientists have always thought these proteins used zinc as their metal cofactor. You know, zinc binding sites are pretty common in proteins.
Right, but this study shows something totally different. When the researchers purified these proteins in the absence of oxygen, so anoxically, they found iron sulfur clusters instead of zinc.
Wait, so the zinc was basically a mistake? Like it was only there because of how the proteins were purified?
Kind of, yeah. Iron sulfur clusters are really sensitive to oxygen. So when you purify proteins under normal lab conditions, with oxygen around, these clusters break down and zinc can slip in and take their place.
That's wild. So these iron sulfur clusters are the native cofactors. But they've been hiding in plain sight because standard purification methods destroy them.
Exactly. And this isn't the first time this team has found this. They previously discovered iron sulfur clusters in other SARS-CoV-2 proteins, like the RNA polymerase and the helicase.
So, it's becoming a pattern. Multiple key viral proteins actually use these iron sulfur clusters. What did they find specifically about NSP14 and NSP10?
Well, they found that NSP14 has two iron sulfur clusters and one zinc ion, and NSP10 has two iron sulfur clusters. They confirmed this with a bunch of techniques. EPR spectroscopy, mass spectrometry, UV visible absorption.
And I'm guessing these clusters are just sitting there doing nothing. They must have some functional role, right?
Absolutely. So here's what they found. The iron sulfur clusters don't affect the proofreading activity, the XON function. That works fine whether you have iron sulfur clusters or zinc.
Interesting. So the clusters aren't essential for that function.
Right, but they do enhance the methyltransferase activities. Both NSP14 and the NSP16-NSP10 complex showed better activity when they had their iron sulfur clusters compared to when they only had zinc.
So the capping process is more efficient with the iron sulfur clusters. That makes sense because capping is so important for the virus to evade the immune system.
Exactly. And there's more. The researchers also found that these iron sulfur clusters are redox active. That means they can change their oxidation state. And when they do, it affects how the proteins bind to RNA.
Oh, so it's like a switch? The redox state controls whether the protein can grab onto RNA?
Pretty much. When they reduce the iron sulfur clusters using chemicals like ascorbate or dithionite, the proteins lost their ability to bind RNA effectively.
That's fascinating. So the virus might be using these clusters to sense the redox environment inside the host cell and adjust its replication accordingly.
That's the hypothesis. The authors suggest that SARS-CoV-2 could be tuning its machinery based on the cell's metabolic state. It's like the virus is adapting in real time.
And I imagine this has implications for treatment, right? If these iron sulfur clusters are so important, they could be targets for drugs.
Absolutely. The paper mentions that these clusters are really vulnerable to oxidative damage. There's this compound called Tempol that can oxidize the clusters and basically inactivate the viral proteins.
So you could potentially develop drugs that specifically target these iron sulfur clusters without affecting the host's own proteins.
That's the idea. And what's really cool is that these iron sulfur cluster sites are conserved across all 7 human coronaviruses, not just SARS-CoV-2.
Wow, so a drug targeting these clusters could potentially work against multiple coronaviruses, including future ones that might emerge.
Exactly. It's a really promising avenue for broad-spectrum antiviral development.
This study also used some pretty sophisticated computational methods, right? They calculated the reduction potentials of these clusters.
Yeah, they used quantum mechanics and molecular dynamic simulations to figure out how easily these clusters can accept or donate electrons. They found that the clusters in NSP10 have lower reduction potentials than those in NSP14.
What does that mean in practical terms?
It means the clusters in NSP10 are less eager to accept electrons. They're more electronegative, so they're harder to reduce compared to NSP14's clusters.
And that could have implications for how these proteins work together in the replication complex, right? Like maybe there's electron transfer happening between them.
That's a really interesting possibility. The authors suggest that these different reduction potentials might allow for coordinated regulation, like a redox-based communication system within the viral machinery.
It's almost like the virus has this ancient, sophisticated system built into its proteins. Iron-sulfur clusters date back billions of years to the early Earth.
Right, and here they are, still being used by a modern virus. It really shows how evolution repurposes these fundamental biochemical tools.
One thing I'm curious about, how did the researchers actually prove these were iron sulfur clusters and not just iron ions or something else?
Great question. They used EPR spectroscopy, which is really sensitive to the electronic structure of iron sulfur clusters. When they reduced the proteins with dithionite, they saw a characteristic EPR signal that matches iron sulfur clusters.
And they also did mass spectrometry to measure the iron and zinc content directly, right?
Yep, ICP-MS, inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry. They found that wild-type NSP14 had about 7 iron atoms per protein molecule, which fits with 2 iron-sulfur clusters, since each cluster has 4 iron atoms.
And when they mutated the amino acids that coordinate the clusters, the iron content dropped, which confirms those sites are where the clusters bind.
Exactly. They made some really clever mutations to pinpoint exactly which sites were binding the iron sulfur clusters versus zinc.
What about the biological relevance? Did they show that the virus actually uses these iron sulfur clusters in cells?
Yes, they did some really nice experiments where they tracked radioactive iron incorporation into these proteins in human cells. And they showed that the proteins interact with the host's iron sulfur cluster assembly machinery.
So the virus is hijacking the cell's own system for making iron sulfur clusters.
Exactly. Proteins like NFS1, ISCU, HSC20, all these host factors that normally make iron sulfur clusters for human proteins. The viral proteins recruit them to get their own clusters.
That's pretty clever from the virus's perspective. It doesn't need to encode its own machinery. It just steals from the host.
Right.
And when they knock down NFS1, which is essential for iron sulfur cluster assembly, the viral proteins couldn't incorporate iron anymore. That really proves they're dependent on this pathway.
So looking at the bigger picture here, this research shows that multiple components of the SARS-CoV-2 replication machinery use iron sulfur clusters. The polymerase, the helicase, and now, these capping and proofreading proteins.
Yeah, it's really painting a picture of iron-sulfur clusters as a central feature of how this virus replicates. And the fact that they're redox-sensitive suggests the virus might be sensing and responding to the cellular environment.
Which brings us back to therapeutics. If you could develop a drug that specifically oxidizes these clusters, you could potentially shut down multiple parts of the viral replication machinery at once.
And Tempo, which they mention in the paper, has already shown promise in animal models. It's a nitroxide that can oxidize iron-sulfur clusters, and it reduced viral replication both in vitro and in vivo.
That's really encouraging. Are there any challenges with this approach?
Well, you'd need to make sure the drug doesn't affect the host's own iron-sulfur proteins too much. But the good news is that these viral proteins seem to have some unique features that might allow for selective targeting.
And the conservation across coronaviruses is huge. If this works, it's not just a COVID treatment. It could be a platform for dealing with future coronavirus outbreaks.
Absolutely. One more interesting point from the paper, they found that these iron-sulfur cluster binding sites are completely conserved in all 7 human pathogenic coronaviruses.
So that includes not just SARS-CoV-2, but also SARS, MERS, and the common cold coronaviruses.
Exactly, which really underscores how fundamental these clusters are to coronavirus biology. They've been preserved through millions of years of evolution.
It's fascinating how this study connects ancient biochemistry with modern virology and potential future therapies. Really shows the power of basic research.
Definitely. And I think it's a great reminder that sometimes what we think we know, like these being zinc-binding proteins, might not be the whole story. You need the right experimental conditions to see what's really going on.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a really fascinating deep dive into iron-sulfur clusters in SARS-CoV-2. Thanks for breaking it down with me, Alex.
Thanks, Jamie. And thanks to everyone listening. If you want to read the full paper, we'll have the link in the show notes. It's from Nature Communications.
And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. We'll be back next time with more cutting-edge research. Until then, stay curious.
See you next time.